Well, today, we've already had a great service, and so in some ways, I feel like I don't need to say anything else, but here we are. So we're going to talk today about Sabbath, and it's an interesting topic because I think in our world, it is an extremely countercultural topic. It's not something that is popular. It's not necessarily something that works easily with the way our society flows. And if you think about it, think back to the ads that you saw this week, whether that was watching TV, whether that was driving, the billboards, magazines, social media. Think about the ads that you saw this week. You can have a couple driving down the road in a convertible, beach vacation, Airbnb, getaways, all these things that are relaxing and fun. You think about what is it they're actually selling? It's rest. They want to sell you rest. And when you think about winning the lottery, what do you think about? Oh, I wouldn't have to work. The hope is that you wouldn't have to work so that you can rest. I would finally have enough that I didn't need to work. I wouldn't need to make any more money. I could just rest. All of these things, they're selling us, ironically, rest. If you buy this car, you will have rest. If you go to Mexico for 2 weeks, you will have rest. If you just do this, buy that, then you can find rest. The good news is that God has actually provided something for us that gives us rest, and that's Sabbath. The even better news is that you don't have to buy it. It's not for sale. You actually can't buy it, but God provides it. Now, when you think about Sabbath, maybe you were like me a number of years ago, and you think of this idea of Sabbath, and you think of either the Old Testament, a bunch of religious rules and laws, or maybe you think of the Pharisees, who had so many rules around Sabbath that they had turned it into something different, or maybe you think of medieval monasteries and a bunch of monks sitting around and doing nothing for a whole day and think, that sounds really boring. And our concepts of Sabbath can be wrapped up in those things. And you may think it's not really interesting. I don't know if that is something I would want to practice. It doesn't seem relevant for today. It seems like something that was for other times, other people, but it just doesn't work in our modern society. But here we are today. We're chronically exhausted. Some of us are burnt out or borderline burnt out. We don't sleep enough. We work too much, some of us. We don't get enough rest. We don't take care of our bodies. When we're not working, we eat too much. We don't rest enough. We watch too much TV, spend too much time on our phones. And we wonder why sometimes life doesn't seem to be working well. We're always on, we're always connected, we're always on our phones, and even work culture nowadays, it's harder and harder to leave work at the office because you've got your phone in your pocket and your coworkers, your boss can email you, they can call you, they can text you. You're always on, always connected. We're surrounded by noise. We're surrounded by just the chatter that's constantly going on in our culture, where it's extremely hard to get away, to find silence. And in our society, busyness actually becomes a badge of honor or a sign of social status because the busier I am, the more important I must be. I'm busy. Everyone needs to get a hold of me. I need to answer this email. I need to answer this text. I'm important. But of the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath is part of the Ten Commandments. It's probably the only commandment that we actually brag about breaking. Because we don't generally brag about murdering people or stealing. We don't generally brag about those things, and probably most of us don't do those things. But many of us actually brag about breaking the Sabbath. I'm so busy. I need to do this. I have to get that done. I can't stop. Just one more thing. I just need to get that done. I'm so busy, I can't. And our closest modern equivalent to the Sabbath is the weekend. But the weekend ends up being just the time where we do all the other work that we didn't do during the week. So we have maybe our 5 days of work, and then the weekend, well, I got to do all the house projects that didn't get done during the week because I was working, or I just got to put in another day at the office because there's that project that's coming up, do it from home. So is there something we can do about our tiredness? And the answer is Sabbath. So let's begin with the definition of the Sabbath. Bill Gaultier says, it's doing no work to rest in God's person and provision, praying and playing with God and others. And Sabbath began, of course, in creation, going right back to the beginning of the Bible. Looking at Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3, it says, so the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work, or he Sabbathed from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. This was the first Sabbath. Later on, the Sabbath command is incorporated into God's laws for the Israelites, and it's written in both sets of the Ten Commandments when they were given originally in Exodus chapter 20, and later on in Deuteronomy 5 when Moses is reminding the Israelites, the next generation, reteaching them the Ten Commandments. It's written twice. Now, Jews practiced Sabbath for a 24-hour period. The Sabbath, as it was commanded in the Bible, as God gave it to the Israelites, was from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. It was a 24-hour period. And it was a rule, it was a law in Israelite society. You could not work. There was no work that was done on the Sabbath. And it's actually very interesting. If you want to spend a little more time, have a look at what the Jewish Sabbath is and how they did it, because there's some interesting practices there. We're not going to get into that too much today, but it's something interesting to look at. Now, the Sabbath certainly begins in the Old Testament, but it doesn't remain there, because after the Israelites returned from exile, they actually started obeying the Sabbath. But interestingly, they took it from not obeying the Sabbath to becoming so extreme about the Sabbath that there were so many rules and laws around the Sabbath so that you couldn't possibly work or break the Sabbath, that it had actually become something that was no longer the intent of Sabbath. It had become religious. When Jesus came, he reorientated the teaching on Sabbath when he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And there's a corrective in there for both people who would have a tendency to be overly religious, as the Jews at the time tended to be, that the Sabbath was not about just following the rules. It was about actually resting. For us, who probably go to the other extreme where we don't practice Sabbath at all, it teaches us that it actually is important to practice the Sabbath. Now, for Christians, we can debate. We're actually talking about this in our Sabbath group that we're doing on Thursdays. Is the Sabbath today a command? Is it a command in Scripture? Do we have to Sabbath? And there's some debate about it. And, you know, whether we decide that it is a command or not, what's interesting about it is that when we look at the units of time in the world that we follow, everyone follows these, because they're tied to the movement of the universe. the 24-hour day is tied to the rotation of the earth, night and day. We have the month, which is tied to the lunar cycle. We have the year, which is tied to the rotation of the earth around the sun. They're all tied to the movement of the universe. The seven-day week is the only unit of time that is not tied to the movement of the universe, because it's tied to creation. It's tied to God's rhythm, the rhythm that he created the earth in. Because for 6 days God worked, on the seventh day he rested. So God has actually built Sabbath into the rhythm of the universe, not because of the movement of the universe, but because of the rhythm of creation. So the idea is that Sabbath exists whether we like it or not. It exists in the rhythm of the world. And I didn't know this, but as soon as we heard this, Cam knew this right away when they started talking about it in the video, that every society throughout history has had a seven-day week because it's part of the rhythm of the universe. It just exists. In the French Revolution, they tried a 10-day work week, and it failed miserably. It did not work, and they went right back to the seven-day week. So even in little experiments where people have tried to use other than a seven-day work week, it doesn't work well, because it's not how we are designed. It's not how God designed the universe. So looking at the Sabbath, my understanding had been that it's primarily about what we don't do, as in we don't work. Somehow you just got to stop yourself from working. And that's certainly part of it. We have to stop. But on Sabbath, we also pray and play. Stopping is just part of Sabbath. Sabbath is a gift to people from God. And I love author Mark Buchanan's definition of Sabbath. He says this: "So I submit this as Sabbath's golden rule. Cease from what is necessary, embrace that which gives life, and then do whatever you want." Sabbath is meant to be life-giving and full of joy, rest, and peace. So I will suggest that there are four things today that we can learn about Sabbath and give you a couple ideas for practicing Sabbath. So what does Sabbath teach us? First, Sabbath teaches us that we are not God. And we would probably not say that. I don't think we're going to sit here this morning and say, hey, I'm God. But sometimes we act like it in our own lives, because I can control my life. I have to work because other people are relying on me. I can't stop because I need to get this done. And so much of our human life, our striving, revolves around performing, achieving, getting it done, being there. And it doesn't just have to be in work. It can be in our personal relationships. I have to help that person because they asked. I have to be there and do that. I have to, I must. We feel we have to measure up. If I don't get the work done, it won't get done, so I just push harder to keep going. Yet we can never achieve satisfaction by what we do. And we know no matter how many to-do lists you write, and no matter how many things you cross off the to-do list, something else just comes up, right? As soon as you cross one thing off, there's another thing that hops on to the to-do list, and it's never done. You can't finish everything. So the gift of Sabbath is we learn that we're not God. And Peter Scazzaro says this: "We stop on Sabbaths because God is on the throne, assuring us that the world will not fall apart if we cease our activities." God sustains the universe, not us. He gets to do that. We don't have to, which means if we stop for a day, the world is not going to fall apart, even though sometimes we're afraid that it will. God's still there. He's still in control. The world is not going to end if we rest for a day. And all kinds of things might come to your mind of why you can't rest. My work demands it. I have a busy schedule. I own a business that's open 7 days a week. I can't take a day off. I have young kids. How do I Sabbath? But consider this first, that God Sabbathed. The God of the universe who created the world, he rested. He Sabbathed. If God can Sabbath, it means we can too. So secondly, Sabbath teaches us to rest. And maybe it sounds unlikely at first, but working from a place of rest, you actually get way more done than just trying to push through. Have you ever experienced it where you've got some sort of problem, you're trying to finish a project, you've got some sort of problem in your mind, and you just can't seem to figure it out? You go to bed, you get a good sleep, you wake up in the morning, you have a straightforward solution. Why was it so hard? Sometimes we just need to rest. And in rest, we're able to actually take the time to find solutions to things that are going on. But we have to rest first. If we don't rest, we don't have that ability to see it from another perspective. And ironically, when we get busy, rest and quiet tend to be the first things we let go of. We just want to push through and keep going. But Pete and Jerry Scazzaro say this, Sabbath keeping is an invitation to rest because God rested. This rest serves as a sign of contemplation and abundance. God's gifts to humanity are so generous that we are able to rest. Our rest indicates that we depend completely on the God who redeemed us from sin, death, and evil. We are able to rest because God is on the throne. Thirdly, Sabbath teaches us to listen to God. And I think we saw that this morning, and it's so beautiful to hear everyone sharing. If we don't stop, it's hard to listen. If we don't take that time, it's hard to hear God speaking. And I think sometimes the way that we try to listen to God, we think, oh, God, I'm going to listen to you. And we think, oh, I never hear anything from God. Sometimes I think it's because when we're trying to listen to God, what we try and do, it's like if your spouse is across the room, the TV is on at full volume, your kids are yelling, there's traffic in the background, and I can't hear you. But that's how we try to listen to God. We don't take time away. We're trying to find God in the midst of all the noise. Sometimes we actually have to step back, turn off the TV, turn off the devices, get outside, maybe get in a quiet room, find some space, and actually listen to God. And Bill Gaultier says this, to learn to enter God's Sabbath rest, you'll probably need to incorporate solitude with Jesus, especially as you're first learning this discipline. Solitude helps us to unhook from the pressures of daily life, our responsibilities, the expectations people have for us, media, and noise. Sabbath gives us space to hear God speak. Fourthly, Sabbath teaches us that something better awaits. We read the scripture this morning when we opened our service in Hebrews. Hebrews 4, 8 to 10 says this, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. The Sabbath rest that we experience on earth is a foretaste of what we will receive, what we will live in heaven, where we will live in permanent Sabbath rest. We'll be freed from sorrow, pain, striving, doing. We will live in God's Sabbath rest, and that is the promise that awaits us. So as we conclude this morning, just a few practical tips if you want to try Sabbath in your own life. And that's the group that we're doing on Thursdays. It's called Practicing the Way, which means we don't just talk about it. we actually do it. Because if we just talk about something, it doesn't make its way into our lives. It can be head knowledge, and that's great, but if we don't do it, if we don't practice it, if we don't live it, it's not going to change our lives. We actually have to do it. We have to practice it. So if you want to try Sabbath, here's a few practical things. It doesn't have to be a full 24-hour period. Some people, you know, if you're extreme, you want to do the whole thing right away. It's got to be 24 hours. That can be challenging depending on your rhythm and your life. So if 24 hours seems challenging, then just do a few hours. Probably an hour is not enough. Try 3 or 4 hours and just set aside that period of time for Sabbath. It can be an afternoon, it could be a morning, you know, an evening, when you have availability. Commit on that time to doing no work. Your definition of work has to be your own. What's work for you versus what isn't? For some people, working out in the yard could be relaxing and joyful. For other people, that's just a chore that they don't want to do. So you have to define what work is for you. But commit to not working during that period of time. Now, you know, you might think, well, I have kids. They need to eat. Yes, you probably should feed your kids. But it can be simple. You can make a big meal the day before and just have some leftovers and heat them up. You know, you can do something simple, apples and toast, whatever it is, right? It doesn't have to be an elaborate production. Find things that work with your rhythm, that are simple to do, that don't require a ton of work and preparation. And actually, in the traditional Jewish Sabbath, the Friday leading up to Sabbath was called preparation, because they would prepare on Friday so that they could Sabbath from sundown to sundown. So they would do the things that they needed to do ahead of time so that they were ready to actually rest on the Sabbath, including making a meal ahead of time, doing the essential chores, getting a couple of things that might have needed to be done, do them ahead of time so that you're not tempted as much to work when you're taking a rest. It may feel like a stretch, but this struck me in our Sabbath course when we were talking this past Thursday. And Sabbath is actually not just not working. And this is probably a stretch for, it is for me certainly, probably for most of us. The intent of Sabbath is actually not just to not work, but it's to actually rest from worrying and wanting. So we can think about work even when we're not working. And in our minds, we're already back in the office when we're thinking about it, even though we might not actually be doing anything. Or we tend to worry about what's going on in our lives, what we have to do, what's coming up on the to-do list. Or we just spend our time thinking about the things that we want. I want to get that, I want to get that. In a consumer-driven society, that can be just as much of a temptation. So on Sabbath, first, stop. Then, do things that bring delight and joy. It could be, if you like going outside with your family, it could be going for a hike with your family. That can be a Sabbath activity. For other people, that is not a Sabbath activity, and that is fine. You can read a book. You can sit in your backyard and drink tea. It can be whatever is restful for you. And part of Sabbath, we pray and play. So the play part, but we also pray. So I'd encourage you, if you're going to Sabbath, spend at least some of your Sabbath reading scripture, praying, journaling, if that's something that's helpful for you. Because when we rest, we give ourselves that time to hear God. And astonishingly, when we listen to him, he speaks. So take the time to not just stop and also play, but take time to pray, to listen to God. So dedicate some of your Sabbath to praying, reading scripture, celebrating God's goodness, reflecting on life, and listen to what God is going to speak to you. Something that can be helpful is choosing an opening and closing ritual to mark your Sabbath. I'm going to do this at 2 o'clock to decide I'm starting Sabbath at this point so that you give yourself a starting point. And it can be helpful to close your Sabbath time with something that is meaningful to you as well. Okay, at 7 o'clock, I'm going to conclude my Sabbath by doing this. For the Jews, they marked it with a meal. A meal was the opening ritual of Sabbath. Probably for most of us, if we really want a Sabbath, we're probably going to have to take these handy-dandy little guys and turn them off. Or at the very least, put it in a different room so that you're not constantly distracted. It can be hard to Sabbath when our phones are in our pockets calling for our attention. So as we've said already today, God gives rest. It's his gift to people. Because he is God, we actually are able to rest. It's part of his generosity in giving us rest, allowing us to rest. It says 6 days we work, the seventh day we rest. It doesn't have to be Saturday today, as we're talking about. You can choose a period of time that works for you. Some people work shift work. Some people work nights. Some people have schedules that are not consistent. So you can pick a time that works for you. But I encourage you to pick a time. You don't have to buy rest. And you actually don't have to wait for a vacation to rest. God has built provision for rest into the rhythm of the universe. And it's available for us if we choose to practice Sabbath as God has given it to us. So try it out. See what happens. You might hate it. You might love it. You could have all kinds of experiences. But I'd love to hear, if you try Sabbath, what happens? What's God doing in your heart? I told the group that's meeting on Thursday, because they've already got 2 weeks of Sabbath, so I'll ask them later if we got it right. But let's pray as we close this morning. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you give rest. And in our society that tends to be so productivity-driven, so consumer-driven, always on, Lord, we need rest. Lord, I pray that we would hear you speak, that we would give control of our lives to you and just step back and say, Lord, you created this universe. I'm pretty sure you can keep it going without me. I can rest. Lord, would you just pour out your rest upon people, especially for those who most need it, Lord. It can be hardest to let go. Lord, would you give rest this week? We thank you for your provision. We thank you for who you are. We pray this in your name.